CPA After Dark.
What's going on, guys, and welcome back to CPA After Dark. I'm your host, Kristen, and I'm with my beautiful co-host, Marit.
I did a little wave.
We have a nasty but informative video for you today. We're going to be talking about 1031 exchanges, which usually makes my heart skip a beat because I'm a real estate investor, and the 1031 exchange is just, it is an amazing tax loophole that you can take advantage of if you invest in real estate. So we'll give you a little bit of information on that, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Biden's new proposal and how it's going to have a direct effect. So if you're into real estate and doing your homework, or if you're thinking about getting into real estate and you're doing your homework, you definitely want to watch this video because it's a lot of information and I really hope this doesn't go through. So that's my my opinion, and I'm letting you have it before the end of the video. So
spoiler alert, it's not a good proposal.
No, the real estate investors are not going to be happy with this at all.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
So let's kind of give like a little definition of like the 1031 exchange. So those that maybe aren't into real estate, thinking about getting into real estate, have a good understanding for the 1031 exchange and why it's such a powerful tool.
Yeah, so the 1031 exchange is something that is pretty common in the tax industry. A lot of people have rental properties. Let's just say, for example, you know, you buy a rental, say you bought it 10 years ago, and so, you know, you've held on to it, and maybe it's in another state, and you're like, I don't really want this rental anymore. I want to buy a duplex in the state I live in, or I want to actually get a short-term rental, and I want to, you know, use a short-term rental loophole, so I need it to be in my same area so I can meet all the requirements. So instead of having to sell, say, your rental that's out of state so that you can purchase a new one, if you did that, you would have to pay the long-term capital gains on the gains, the appreciation of the property. So the 1031 exchange, in essence, is a swap. So you find a qualified intermediary to help you. You do all the things the IRS wants you to do. As always, there's instructions and rules, but basically you can swap your rental in the other state. If you find someone else who also has a rental in the state you live in and they're interesting in swapping, which you can find this, there's companies out there who have whole lists of people who are looking for someone to do a 1031 exchange for you. So you find a property you like, they buy yours, you buy theirs. The consideration also has to be the same. There's a lot of, you know, qualifying factors, but any gain that you would have had to pay taxes on had you sold the property and then bought a new one is now deferred. And you basically can kick the can down the road and not have to pay the gain on that property for as long as you hold it. So it's really cool, especially if you are looking to just, you know, upgrade your portfolio or, you know, build on your portfolio, and you don't necessarily want to get hit with a huge gain in the process.
Yeah. And that's the best way. You hit it right on the head when you said upgrade your portfolio. Like, you have these properties and you want to get something better, bigger, change the scene, go from long-term to short-term. You want to do something that's going to have more benefits. A lot of times they cost more money and you're playing with a lot of money here. So this ability to push the appreciation off is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really, I mean, there are a lot of companies to help you do it too. And as long as you have a tax advisor who actually knows how to, you know, do your taxes correctly, it's a pretty cool tool and it really can save you a lot of money. So, you know, it's good. We like it so far. But of course, you know, whenever you're trying to get more money for the government and collect more taxes, then you want to find these loopholes and you want to try to, you know, close them, I guess you would say. So in the budget, Biden's fiscal year 2025 budget proposal, they do actually use the verbiage that they want to close some of these loopholes, you know, that taxpayers are taking advantage of, which sounds good to the people up top and doesn't sound so good to everyone else, because we love our loopholes. Come on.
So, yeah, I live for them.
Yeah, I live for the loopholes. And as tax advisors, that's all we do all day is try to find the loopholes for our clients and try to, you know, help them save money on taxes in a legal way. So with the
and
new
we,
proposal,
the clients, appreciate that.
Thank you. Yes. And so you, the clients, can do your part by knowing about these kinds of things and being informed, right? Like you are the ones who are voting for the people who do whatever tax proposal it may be. And maybe this one isn't important to you. And so you don't care about this one in terms of, you know, it swaying your voting decision, but being informed is always great. And, you know, we always love to, we're real estate lovers, right, Kristen? So
yes,
you know,
we are.
We got to talk about this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about, I have my notes. So if I'm looking down, it's because I want to get the numbers right for you guys. So the proposal, let's talk again about married filing jointly. I like to stick with that one because there's different amounts for different filing statuses, single, married filing jointly. Let's just do that one because it's always the highest because it's the two. So the highest proposal. So what they want to do is if you are swapping your properties and let's say your property has appreciated by $2 million, it could happen. Property is very high right now. And, you know, like it seems like that doesn't affect anyone. That's so much money. But when it comes to property, it's not really that much. It appreciates like crazy. Especially if you bought it back, you know, however long ago, and now it's just zoomed up in value.
Especially if you bought your property like prior to, you know, the boom that started in like 2020. Those properties were bought probably really low and the market has skyrocketed, especially, I mean, I'm in Myrtle Beach. Property values have gone through the roof. So like the properties that I've bought, my long-term rentals are all have almost doubled in value, which is awesome. So
yeah, and not
if
that
I wanted
many
to sell
years
a couple, no, not that many years. And if I wanted to sell a couple of them, it could definitely affect me.
Right, right. So if you're going to do the exchange now, they're saying, let's use you and Chris as an example because you're married filing jointly. You have a property. It's appreciated now with a $200,000 gain, meaning what you paid for it now and what it's actually worth. Everything above the $1 million mark for your gain, they want to be taxed at ordinary rates. And so there's no more deferral of your gain. Now you can't just do a swap and not have to pay anything. Once you hit that $1 million threshold, anything above that in terms of gain is going to be taxed at ordinary rates. And if you guys watched our previous video where we talked about the long-term capital gains rates, they want to move that rate up to 44.6% when you combine the net investment income tax and the ordinary tax rate. So instead of being able to defer the whole thing, you're looking at a 44.6 federal tax on any gain above that you need to pay immediately. You can no longer kick the can down the road.
Yep. And what is that 44%? I can't even like, takes my breath away. 44% when you're looking at buying more property, because even when you're not taking the money and running with it, you're trying to roll it over into another property, which is what most of us do. The next property that you buy, you're going to have to buy for less money. Because now you just lost 44% of the value that you were supposed to achieve.
Absolutely.
So of the gain on the asset.
Yeah, it's a big hit.
You just lost all of that. That's a lot of money. That's almost 50%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then when you calculate state tax into, into it, although I'm not sure at this point how the states would approach that. Because states don't necessarily have to comply to federal. They don't have to recognize all of the federal things if they don't want to, like for bonus depreciation.
I was thinking about that too.
Yeah, we know about that.
I was thinking we know about that too well.
Yeah. Because South Carolina does not recognize bonus depreciation. So who knows what the states will do. Who knows if this will pass with the 1031? We'll have to wait and see. But it's just something we wanted to give a basic explanation for. You know, don't get after me about the numbers and the gains in the comments. I wasn't planning on saying numbers. So, but you get the point. And that's all we wanted to do was have you get the basic point. Again, to keep it short, not overwhelm you, but at least let you know what's in the proposal, because we are coming on upon election time and you guys need to be informed about the policies that each party is putting out. And this is the hot topic everyone's talking about. So,
yeah. And if you're a real estate investor, this can hit you really hard in the pocket. So just be cautious and keep your mind focused on what's happening so you're not caught off guard, because that would really stink.
Yeah.
But I hope you guys like this video. If you have any questions, you can throw them in the comments below. Like I said earlier in the video, I hope this doesn't get passed. But time will tell. We will see you guys next time on CPA After Dark.